Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack and Jill here.
Hey.
Welcome to the show. In this episode, Jill and I talk about being a millionaire and what to expect. I don't know from personal experience, but we'll talk about it.
Like what?
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Farron asks, when completing our first option deal, we're completing our first option deal and the bank got involved on the lender's end. Uh-oh. They're a teeny bit concerned that they're making a check out to a company that does not technically own the land. Any advice to settle their nerves in the small town bank? How would you go about handling this?
Yeah, this came up on our weekly call, I think,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I think it did.
And I answered it like this. Why is there a bank? We don't ever deal with lenders. I mean, ever, unless they're like a private person.
Right.
So I'm not sure. I mean, what do you think, Jill? So I don't know how a bank ever...
I'm trying to piece it together. So option deal is I'm not putting down the money. I'm optioning the property. So I'm guessing it's a pass-through from the buyer, you think? The buyer through Farron. The buyer's getting the money? Or Farron's getting the lender, the bank money?
Sometimes we say, run to the bank and do this deal. It's so good.
Yeah.
And sometimes we say, turn around and run in the other direction as fast as you can from this deal. That's my advice here.
This is true. Okay, if you're doing an option deal and you need to have a lender involved, pass on the deal. Is that what you're saying, Jack?
Our whole business model, right from the time that then you send the mail out, the blind unsolicited offers in the mail, we scrubbed the data out so there's no lenders.
Mm-hmm.
So lenders really, really complicate and destroy real estate success, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, here's one of the reasons why.
Not 100% of the time. Leverage can be good, but if you're relatively new at this or, you know, just that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I mean, like you said, this is one of the reasons why lenders can mess up deals. I mean, I'm not sure about that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around exactly what's going on. I wonder if Farron's borrowing the money in the middle.
Yeah.
Just to close a deal.
Something we don't know, I
right.
guess.
Right. Instead of double and closing it.
So let me tell you something about lenders really quickly with my experience and how I got to be this jaded.
Oh, no. Please share, Jack. I want to know how you got to be this jaded in life.
You walk into Bank
kidding.
Of America, let's say. I'm not picking on Bank of America. Any bank. Any big bank, right?
And oh, please pick on them. Have at it.
And you say, you know what? I need a mortgage on my house. Or I have a mortgage, but I need a new one or any of that stuff. And they say, oh, my gosh, great. Just like walking into a used car dealership, and then they can smell the money.
Yeah.
They assign you a person who's about 21 years old.
Right.
Who has no experience whatsoever, but somebody went through
an apprentice.
6-week training course in some place that's got really nice weather. And they sipped on their coffee, and they had a nice clean white sheets, and they learned nothing. And then now they're gonna execute a financial instrument on your behalf that will change your life. Is that what you want?
I think it makes a lot of sense. What's the problem, Jack?
Maybe she was a cheerleader.
Maybe she
That's
was.
That's all of her experiences, cheerleading, and she's going to do execute your mortgage.
She led a very powerful squad, Jack. Don't be knocking on those. I hear you.
And all kidding aside, it's a very slippery scenario. And I read somewhere recently that 40% of all marriages, that's a friend.
Woo!
40% of all mortgages.
Mortgages, marriages.
have like errors in them. Like they were calculation errors. Like
yeah, you meant marriages.
60% of all marriages are fatally flawed.
Have errors in them. And mortgages are much safer.
You want to talk about destroying your life.
Wow.
Get a mortgage in a marriage, then you're done.
Because 60 and 40 is 100%, so you're over.
So in the middle of 60 and 40 is 50, and you have about a 50% chance of either one of those working at all.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow.
Oh, Jill. What a, you're cracked.
Thank you.
Oh, if you have a question.
Oh boy. And you want us to just beat you up here about it.
If you have a question or if you'd like to stop listening to this show, feel free to reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, millionaire and what to expect. This is the meat of the show.
It's millionaire week. Woohoo!
Yeah, it's millionaire week. Jill and I decided to lighten up a little bit, Jack. That's what she said to me.
Yeah.
Lighten up a little bit, Jack. Let's have some fun. I said, all right, what should we talk about?
Being a millionaire, because I'm watching more and more of them emerge.
Yeah. Tons.
That's it. And they're like, now they're looking at us going, now what do I do? I'm like, just do it again.
So what, I mean, if you're not a millionaire yet, because it's probably because you haven't sent out enough letters, but that's not what the show's about.
Right.
In fact, I know that's why you're not a millionaire yet.
Yeah.
If you are a millionaire already, you probably have sent enough letters out or you figured it out some other way. So I bet once you cross that line, if you're good at this stuff, you didn't even know it when you crossed it. You looked like 2 years ago, I probably was a millionaire kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you expect, Jill? You know, what advice can you give people about, let's just say money, you know? And maybe like you have this built up thing in your head, like, man, when I'm a millionaire, or man, when I have...
Isn't that funny?
Or let's just say this, when I don't have to go to work, maybe I don't even have to go to work today at my own job, the one that I created for myself in my own company.
I think it's funny that you don't even really realize it when you pass the threshold, like you said. You're like, I guess I am. Huh. You know, you're like that, like you said, it was 2 years ago kind of thing. Like, huh, that's what that was.
I mean, if you know that it's going to happen.
I still look the same. I still need to lose 20 pounds. I like,
you know, that's what I mean.
None of that's
changed. Really what this show's about. Yeah. Like, if you know it's going to happen 2 weeks from now or two Thursdays from now, you've got problems. But if it just passes you by.
Right. And you're still going to Costco.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you've arrived. That's what's great.
Here's what you can expect. Nothing's going to change. In fact, the chances are you have a lot more responsibility, which is not a bad thing. This isn't one of those sappy shows like, you know, rich people suck and don't worry about it, never make any money kind of thing. It's nothing like that going on at all.
I think that most millionaires that I know have a lot of similar traits. One is, like we just talked about, they don't realize it. They're like, oh yeah, I guess I am. Number two, they aren't frivolous. They have medium, not fancy. They don't drive Ferraris. They've paid off cars.
I love this word. This is
yeah. They work. They still get up and go to work, pretty much usually their own business, and every day, and they're still pushing forward to make it bigger and better. They're not stopping just because it's not like oh, okay, I can coast now.
I reached the milestone.
You know, buying a Ferrari and that's it. See ya. No, they're not doing that. So it's very interesting.
Here's some of the best advice I can give to anyone. It's actually in my book. It's a whole chapter. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can either get better at whatever you're doing or you're going to get worse, but you cannot stay the same. So that applies to this too. If you reach your financial goal, whatever it is, or you reach some goal like, man, I don't have to go to work any longer, don't just stop. I worked with somebody a long time ago and she came into some money. I think she had inherited it. Not a lot, like, I don't know, $40,000 or $50,000. You know what she did? She said, you know what? I don't have to work this year. So she didn't. And she like did a bunch of stuff that she wanted to do. And she was a nurse, so she can, you know, people in a profession like that.
They know they can come back and get a job right away.
Next week.
That's a little more secure.
Not even next week, next shift.
Right.
So
would you recommend this or not recommend that?
For my personality, and I know for yours for sure, Joe, or if with any of the kids, I would sit them down and say, that's exactly, if you want to work the rest of your life, that's exactly what you should do. If you want to build something, you know, build a legacy or build whatever you're trying to build, which I think most of the people who listen to the show want to build something,
well,
you know, don't just quit.
No, but
take
well,
a break.
But you just touched on something that was really good, Jack. Some people, that's all they want, and maybe that was her. You know, there are. I'm not putting anybody down, but there are a lot of people that they can't step aside and imagine not having paid for benefits. You know, they want that security of two vacations a year. Benefits are covered, dental included, you know, and they're happy just having their job.
Yeah.
So there are people that want a job, and I respect that.
Oh, me too. And it's not, no disrespect, absolutely.
So maybe that was that nurse. And for her, it just freed her up to take one big, long, kick blank vacation, and for a year, and that's what she did. And then she's going to come back and get back into her nursing job because she really enjoys it anyway. And that's all she's ever wanted to do. And it's going to, and she knows that she can retire at X age and move into a nursing home and whatever. You know, maybe that's it for her.
Right. And that's fine.
So.
But that's not how we operate here.
No. And then there's the weirdos like us. So I've been using that term a lot with my staff. Instead of saying, all right, tell that idiot, I just said, I'm like, tell that weirdo.
What do you mean? You have issues with customers?
Oh, no. Never. What? No.
You mean everybody who wants to sell us a piece of property is just fine?
Oh, easy. Oh, man. And all the buyers and every person I encounter.
That's good. That's good to know.
Yes. No. So yeah, I've adopted the term weirdo right now, and then everybody goes, yeah, that's code for not good. Mm-hmm. So, but
Bill Gates said, I don't see any reason why anyone in their 20s would ever take a vacation, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
Really, I do. So, what do you expect?
You
expect nothing. That's what I think. You expect to work harder. You should expect to feel a sense of freedom and accomplishment, which I think are incredibly important things to me, in a sense of building something.
Yeah. I like your freedom and accomplishment, because I was going to say that that's one thing that I've experienced is sleeping really well at night.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, though there's a lot more responsibility, there's more employees, we have more staff, we're getting more office space, you know, we're expanding, we're introducing new products. But you know what? All of that doesn't worry me. It further, we have more lines of business and everything, even though it brings more responsibility, it makes me even more comfortable. So I'm good.
That's why we fight. You nailed it. You know what, Jill? That's why we do well together.
Why we fight? Because we fight well together?
No. That is why we fight. Why we, you know, right. Why we do this every day? Because you, in the end, like the long term end, we have the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I want: multiple lines of income streams, multiple safety nets is what I call them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, a sense of huge accomplishment, which I think is what our show tomorrow is called, you know, Pay It Forward.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you, Jack.
Join us in the next episode, where it's How to Behave When You Become a Millionaire Week. And all week, we discuss what to expect when you cross that line.
Nice. And we answer Richard's question about purchase agreement expirations.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Good show. That was fun. I like that.
Me too. I think it's a good topic. It'll be a fun week.
Exactly. Hey, you like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.